Welcome to the second season of No More Silence, a podcast where young voices take the mic.
Each month, we sit down with high school and college students, local educators, and community leaders from Toledo to share real stories, raw emotions, and honest conversations about life, community, and everything in between. No More Silence hopes to highlight the change makers in our community. And in every episode, you'll hear real stories of grief, healing, and resilience from high school students who are speaking up about the pain, the loss, and the strength it takes to move forward.
These aren't just stories, they're truths that matter. This is more than a podcast, it's a space to be heard, it's a space to be human.
This is No More Silence. My name is Shaima Abdel Halim.
And I'm Amanda Hatton. Let's get started. This is a special episode dedicated to six families who lost loved ones to gun violence over the July 4th holiday in Toledo.
In a statement to the community immediately after the tragedy, Mayor Wade Capsicavage said, "These deaths tell a heartbreaking story. A story of too many families grieving. A story of trauma that stretches far beyond the victims."
He goes on to say, "Violence like this can make us feel angry, afraid, even hopeless. But we cannot give up on each other. We cannot give up on our neighborhoods, and we will not give up on Toledo."
This is the 10th year of Fearless Writers, and every year students have written about the impact of gun violence on their lives. As a culture, we avoid talking about grief, so feelings never get to be expressed. We wanted one episode dedicated to youth expression of grief and not be afraid to talk about death.
This episode is an opportunity for youth to remember loved ones who have been lost and to learn from community experts about why the ritual of remembrance is important to individual and community healing.
Hello, my name is Adon Reed, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. The following writing pieces are inspired by a gift or memento of a loved one that reminds the writer of the friend or family member that they loved who has sadly passed away.
Hello, my name is Najay Stone, and I am a senior at Rogers High School. A Pepsi bottle makes me think of my aunt, my auntie. She loves Pepsi, so whenever I see it, I think of her. Then a red bird, the cardinal, makes me think of my mother's granny, because when she passed, she always wanted to come back as one.
Hello, my name is Dallas Lothry, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School. My aunt passed away this summer, and she lived in Atlanta. So before she passed, we went to visit her, and the same day we got there was the same day that she passed. She was cremated, and her ashes are in a necklace so that I can hold her close to me.
Hello, my name is Heather Cleary, and I'm an adult member of Fearless Writers. They collected beautiful things, strange things that were not typical. I wonder if this was an acceptance of how they too were not typical. My grandmother was beautiful, curly blonde hair, hazel eyes with high cheekbones, and an hourglass figure. But she was short, barely 5 foot tall. I imagine she was overlooked a lot because of her height. Her intelligence was also not always appreciated, being a woman at a time when women were ideally quiet, ideally caregivers. To smart husbands and bright sons, I am not sure why I gravitated to this tiny, beautiful object. I suppose it reminds me of her. The title of that is My Grandmother's Pepper Grinder.
Hello, my name is Unique Light, and I am a sophomore at Rogers High School. The beauty of having something passed down, having something passed down to you is so meaningful. To know that they are thinking of you during their last days is something beautiful just to know and to remember. Whenever you look down at something passed down to you, something to cherish the memories that you have during their life.
My name is Skylar. I'm from Rogers, and I'm in the 10th grade. My Nana, who passed away, gave me a small teddy bear that I still sleep with to this day. She also bought me a pair of boots that I actually liked, but I got bullied for badly in the 7th grade for wearing them because they weren't name brand. But I also have those to this day.
My name is Nina. I'm in 10th grade and I go to Rogers High School. A loved one I've lost is my great cousin Amber. She died to overdosing. She died in 2021 and we all went to her funeral and talked and held her hand in her casket. Unfortunately, I wasn't very close to her the same way my cousins were, but I was close to my cousins. I didn't really grieve, but I watched as the people around me did so. When her mom and little sister got up to do their speech, when my cousin cried in her mom's arms, everyone asked me why I wasn't sad or crying. It made me feel guilty to a certain extent, but can you grieve someone you don't know? Just because we're related by blood doesn't mean I know her. I think there's a difference between loving someone and having love for someone, though she was so pretty and sweet. I always wanted to be her growing up. Sadly, when she passed, her boyfriend sold all her stuff, but we got t-shirts from her funeral, and I wanted her wiener dogs.
Alexandria Lynch, Rogers High School. Right before Finn's family moved to his new neighborhood, him and his parents took a visit to the hospital his uncle was in. His uncle Terry was suffering from some disease. Finn never got to know what it was because everyone refused to tell him. Sometimes Finn would try to figure it out himself. What makes you cough really hard and makes your throat hurt? Though in the end, it was no use. That day they visited Terry in the hospital. Finn was excited to share all the cool comic books he read, excited to tell him about his life, excited to see Uncle Terry. When Finn approached the bed, he smiled down at his uncle, clutching his comics. "Uncle Terry," Finn exclaimed joyously. "Finn, don't disturb him," his mother growled, shooing him away with her hand. "It's fine, Christine," Terry coughed up, smiling right at Finn. "How are you?" "I'm great. I read this Breathman comic book. It's so amazing, and I..." Finn began to ramble, holding up his comic until Terry interrupted. "Wait, I have something for you," Terry gasped out, reaching into his bag on the floor. He pulled out his vintage comic with a cough and a groan, nonetheless smiling. Finn immediately grasped the comic. Finn's eyes were wide in awe, fingers tracing the cover. He was so happy he didn't even hear the heart monitor flatlining. Finn's eyes lost his awe. Terry's hand rested on his and he mirrored his gaze, cold, dead, and silent. Now that the comic was preserved in the glass frame in his room, and whenever he reads the comic, he still thinks about his uncle.
My name is Adon Reed. My piece consists of my pet that I used to have. Her name was Sandy. She had a collar I made. I was five, and I didn't really know how to draw like that. Even though I've been drawing for my whole life, I didn't know how to draw like that. Sadly, she passed away, though. But the collar was handed down to me, even though I haven't seen her so much. But I still miss her to this day. I still got the collar in my room. It has like little smiley faces all over it. Like smiley faces, frowny faces, like just faces on there. Because it shows expression and how people should love. And like, that's how I felt with my dog, Sandy. Like I loved her very much.
My name is Tina DeBoard. I'm a library media specialist at Rogers High School. We go through the drawers and the boxes. Cigar cases caked with dust. "Take what you want," my mom says, and I see my son's eyes dart toward a tin box of rare coins, a velvety pocket watch pouch, the same pouch you took when your dad passed and you were told to take. Take something to help you remember. I take your glasses, both pairs, the old and the new, because I want to see like you. Clearly and keenly, and never only straight ahead.
Joining me today are Muren from the Monarch Grief Center and Shayna from Good Grief. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
It's a privilege to be here.
Muren, do you want to tell us about yourself?
So my name's Maren Simon. I'm the clinical director, one of the grief counselors with Monarch Grief Center. Monarch Grief Center is a local nonprofit grief center located in Perrysburg, Ohio. We're right in downtown Perrysburg, and we service the greater Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan region, providing grief services to people who need it. So individual counseling, specialized support groups, and by specialized, I mean specific losses. So a midlife spousal loss group, a suicide loss support group, and others. And then we also do a lot of community support and education. So providing support to businesses, schools, organizations who might be experiencing a loss as a community as well.
And Shayna, how about yourself?
Hi, I'm Shayna Sadosky. I am representing Good Grief of Northwest Ohio. My role is a school program coordinator, so I am running our grief support groups for children, students in schools K through 12. And so Good Grief of Northwest Ohio is another grief support nonprofit in our area that specializes in children's grief. And so we support children, but also their adult caregivers in peer support groups, which means that we do not do counseling or therapy. However, peer support groups in their simplest form are there as a support so people feel less alone in their grief.
Okay, so why are tributes and memorials important to individual and community healing?
So tributes and memorials are important to individuals and communities for several reasons. I mean, it's a powerful, meaningful way for us to provide a space for people to not just grieve individually, but as a community. I think about the term collective grief, which just means the importance of us having collective rituals, a place to publicly mourn together, having spaces that we can share in an effort to not just grieve ourselves individually, but together. So a couple different factors come to mind as to why these are important. First and foremost, a place for us to acknowledge the loss that's happened. So giving us the space to say that person's name, not be silent about it, to talk about what happened and have an open dialogue as a community. It provides a space, again, for shared mourning. So this can help lessen feelings of isolation, loneliness, and shame, which are all too common in grief. It gives us a time and space to recognize this person's legacy and their impact. So what did they mean to us? What did they give to us? And offer a time to reflect on memories as well. And then lastly, I think as a community, it also helps us foster resilience and unity by showing, okay, we're acknowledging this loss as a community. We're not hiding it. We're not being silent about it, and therefore can honor this person's life well.
What are things that individuals and communities can do to support those who are grieving from a loss caused by violence?
Yeah, we recognize it can be challenging to know what to do. In fact, society tells us, you know, don't say anything at all because that's what's best. Because if I say something, then it's going to be the wrong thing. And so we know that a loss due to violence is really challenging because we can't necessarily change what's been done. And we can't necessarily fix the way that it makes you feel. And so we have some things that really you can do with any loss for anyone who's grieving. You can support them by listening without judgment. People want to be able to express their feelings without needing to fix or minimize their pain or their grief. And so it's really important that we just sit and listen and understand that this is their perspective and their feelings. Also, acknowledging the trauma. Violence is, it's scary. It adds so many layers of shock, anger, confusion, and your sense of safety really is impacted. And so there's many levels that make it difficult for us to try to support what's happened. Offer practical or more tangible help, things that people have to do every day, regardless of what's happened, but it has to get done. Things like eating, so providing meals, maybe transportation for children that need picked up from school or taken to a sports event or something like that. Childcare, offering, hey, you know, I can watch little Johnny while you run to the grocery store, just need some time to yourself. Helping with memorial arrangements, not just saying, call me if you need something, but letting them know, I can help with this. This is what I'm good at. This is what I would like to offer you. Creating safe spaces, like Marin had mentioned, having the sense of community, really that social support is so valuable. So holding vigils, circles, just open engagements where people can share memories, emotions, the process that they're challenging the questions, what happened. And oftentimes when there's a death due to violence, there will be ongoing court involvement, which means that this level of conversation will be at that emotional sort of response every time something new plays out in the news. Educate the community. So promote awareness about how violence affects others, the trauma on mental health. That's so valuable and important. And finally, support mental health access. So letting people know, connecting with a counselor, a therapist, places like Monarch Grief Center, places like Good Grief of Northwest Ohio. These are our local resources that help support the grief caused by many losses, including those by violence.
Does grief look different when a loved one is lost to violence?
So grief can certainly look different when someone dies by violence. I mean, grief looks different for every person, depending on a variety of factors, even when violence isn't included. But, you know, one very important factor to the grief process is the nature of how this person died. So the circumstances surrounding a death can certainly impact someone's grief process, make healing a bit more complex, maybe at times requiring specific support. So whether that's trauma-informed support, certainly grief-specific support, finding a specialized grief counselor. So when someone dies by violence, a person's grief may look different for a variety of reasons. Certainly, their grief may include trauma symptoms. So someone might experience flashbacks, nightmares, heightened anxiety, or a kind of a hypervigilance. I know Shana mentioned that sense of safety certainly changes and alters. There's also a really strong sense of injustice. Something wrong has happened. Anger, helplessness, especially if there's any sense that it feels like this violence should have somehow been preventable. Shock and disbelief, which are common in grief, can certainly last longer when violence is a part of things, particularly if the death was sudden or public. Survivors may experience a sense of fear or mistress, especially if the violence occurred in their community, where they live, where they go to school, the places that they spend their everyday lives. And then certainly the grieving process can be complicated, and Shana mentioned this briefly, when there's legal proceedings, media coverage, which also sometimes then brings a sense of social stigma, where their grief might not be recognized by the public or community or welcomed, and can certainly complicate things.
What suggestions do you have for school communities to remember students who have died?
School communities play a crucial role in paying tribute and memorializing students who have died. There's so many ways that schools can take this on. I think it's important to recognize that here locally in Northwest Ohio, we have many high schools that have the partnership with the healthcare clinics. All of the TPS high schools have the partnership with Ohio Health Partners, which has medical staff and counseling and therapy staff right there in the building, which means that they're open for the community. So the idea that schools use their space as a place where community can come together is so valuable. So some ways that we have suggested to schools on how they can help support a student who has died is creating a memorial space, a bench, a tree, a mural, a garden can offer a lasting tribute where the community comes together to tend to this space and keep it clean and keep it as a peaceful space, hosting a memorial event. So I like to encourage the school that wants to have a response, encourage a group of students to take that on as their own. When they have ownership, they feel like they're doing right by their peer or their friend or their relative by taking this on and honoring that person, how they saw that person. So having a playlist of their favorite songs or their readings or maybe their artwork or whatever sort of reflects the and honors the student that died. Providing a memorial book or a memory book or some sort of scrapbook or something where students can put their individual notes to that family that's the survivors of the death. That's really important both to support the family that's remaining, but also how the student was impacted by that person who died. I think it's important for them to share those things as a way to recognize and honor their own grief. Students also have had scholarships in their name, and I think the school is the one that facilitates that or offers that as a way to keep their name or their memory alive in a meaningful way. They might also designate a day of remembrance, an annual day that reflects that student or something that they loved or were a part of, and then the community comes together, the school community comes together to support, encourage, and really reflect on the life of that student. Again, another way to memorialize that student. Offer counseling and support. So this is a great first step, I would say, when a student dies unexpectedly, or maybe they did expect that. I think it's important to reach out to our local resources like Good Grief of Northwest Ohio and Monarch Grief Center as additional supports, because when we look at grief support, especially with children, the more the better. We know that having multiple opportunities for kids to express their grief are so valuable, whether it's in a group setting, whether it's individually, and also how their adults recognize that their child can benefit from support. And then the last thing, involve the family as appropriate. You know, not every family is in a space where they want to be present and, you know, be made to feel like all eyes are on them. And so this is very individual, but involving the family in as much as possible as a way for them to see the things that their loved one, their student did in the school environment, which they weren't a part of. So they get to learn a little bit more about their person that died as somebody that wasn't just a daughter or a son or a member of their family, but also as a friend, as a student. And this also adds to their piece of their grief and how they saw and how they see their person continuing on.
Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's always a privilege to be able to come and share about grief, about Monarch Grief Center and Good Grief of Northwest Ohio.
Yes, we are so thankful for opportunities to talk about how we can all best serve the community, especially in grief, and come together as a grief-sensitive society and comfort and support to each other.
Hello, this is Adon again. This is a short story inspired by a story by Keekla Magoon titled Out of the Silence. You died on a Friday. I didn't go to your funeral. We didn't know each other at all, and still, I think about you. I think about whether you saw it coming and whether it was painful. I didn't go to your funeral, but sometimes I wish I'd been bold enough. I wonder what you look like. or if the coffin was evolved. But I'll try not to dwell on the morbid thoughts. I was curious, of course, but I didn't want to be one of those people who pile on to a tragedy.
My name is Amia Daly. I'm in 10th grade and I go to Rogers High School. Hearing how the friend was in a crash reminds me of how people don't pay attention to the road. It makes me think of my life and how people I've known has gone into crashes. When she said that she didn't really get to know her, reminds me of how my uncle got into a car crash and I didn't really get to know him that well either. And it makes me realize how fast people can go.
My name is Joseph Allison, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. Grief was always a confusing thing for me, as I haven't experienced it as I thought I would. Sitting down, thinking my life was over was always my example of grief, but when I actually went through it, I barely shed a tear. I know people shed differently, but even as my grandpa passed, I still barely shed a tear. I was sad, that much was certain, but I still didn't grieve. I'm not sure if it's my own pride keeping myself from crying, or maybe it was shock that people truly do die. Even thinking that it was shock that would stop me from crying, but I was pretty sure I was so focused on making sure everyone else was okay that I didn't have enough time to cry for myself. All I know is that people die, and the only thing you can do about it is move forward.
My name is Skylar. I'm a student from Rogers High School. I'm in the 10th grade. What I felt the hardest from the story was grieving about a person who you barely know and who barely knows you. Even though I never really experienced the narrator's true pain, because in her story, the girl that she wanted to get to know passed away, I can get the feeling of missing someone so much, even though you barely knew them and they barely knew you.
Alexandria Lynch, 10th grade, Rogers High School. It's a good story. The depiction of feeling grief for someone you don't know is perfect. The feeling of not knowing someone but having a crush on them is a sucky feeling, especially when you know you can't be with them, especially with something not socially accepted.
Hi, it's NJ Storm. You die, so did my secret. When people pass away, they pass with many things unsaid. I wonder what the last words my family members that have passed on would have said to me. Things they wanted to tell me but never did. Of course, there are things that I want to hear them say again, but it makes me think about what things people would have said to their family that they never got to say.
Hi, it's Dallas Lothery again. The repetition of it was on a Friday. They had a friendship of 16 years. Grief is hard, but this story puts a different view on it. It makes it sound like a regular day or not as sad. Remembrance, colors, people, we really didn't know each other. So many questions unanswered.
Hi, my name is Heather Cleary. You died in my kitchen, not really, but in the movie version of my life, the loss hit my mom on the phone with the police. She collapsed to her knees screaming, no. I had to hear the news at 16, the officer asking me about my mom, your sister, if an adult was around. When the answer was no, I heard that you died in a car, actually the cause of death, stabbing. The officer assured me they were looking into how. He couldn't reach my grandparents. Recent move with new phone number. Someone needed to come and identify the body. You died in my kitchen, not really. You were only 35, not supposed to die. My family on a grief roller coaster, the kind you loved, the kind that me and my sisters would be worried you would fall out of as you went upside down. You cared in ways other adults couldn't, giving me gifts with dragons, a common curiosity. What others never noticed you did. You died in my kitchen, not really. Now much later, cleaning up my mother's house, putting memories into boxes. I didn't go to your funeral. I thought as I passed through a tackle box full of your things. My parents made me stay behind to watch my sisters. They didn't want us to miss school. You died in my kitchen, not really. For the first time 40 years later, I read the newspaper clippings about your murder, the trial, the not guilty verdicts, the gravesite I've never seen. You died in my kitchen, not really. You died etched into my life like a tattoo, impossible to wash away. Nothing ever the same after. You died in my kitchen. Not really.
We know that listening to this episode could bring up uncomfortable feelings for the youth audience. We want you to know the resources available to you if you would like to talk about your feelings. Ask a teacher or adult in your building to link you to the mental health professional or health provider in your building. Each TPS high school has mental health support in the building for students.
To close out this episode, we have writing pieces from Fearless Writers inspired by the poem In Backwater Woods by Mary Oliver.
I'm back again. Adon is back. I am a sophomore at Rogers High School.
The Fearless Writers were inspired by a following poem called In the Backwater Woods by Mary Oliver. Look, the trees. The trees are turning their own bodies into pillars of light, are giving off the rich fragrance of cinnamon and fulfillment. The long tapers of cattails are brushing and floating away over the blue shoulders of the ponds. And every pond, no matter what its name is nameless now. Every year, everything I have ever learned in my lifetime leads back to this, the fires and black river of loss.
Hello, my name is Najay Stone. Here is my written piece inspired by In the Blackwater Woods by Mary Oliver. Mortal. A couple months ago, I lost my Uncle Josh. This was such a shocker to the family. He was only 30 and he had the most beautiful smile. He was a joy to be around, and it doesn't feel right that he's gone now. But the word Myrtle makes me think about him. And I think that this sticks with me more than any other death because I've never been so hands-on with the funeral before his.
Hello, my name is Dallas Latte and I'm a senior at Rogers High School, and here is my writing inspired by Mary Oliver. Look, the trees are turning their own bodies into pillars of light, are giving off the rich urban of cinnamon and fulfillment. This quote puts me in the mind of fall or autumn. Cinnamon rolls are so sweet and warm like a hug. The smell of a cinnamon pumpkin latte can put you in the mind of your childhood, playing the leaves. People think of autumn as a time when trees die, but I see it as a time to celebrate the wonderful things that fall could offer.
Hi, my name is Heather Cleary, and I'm a social work professor at the University of Toledo. And here's my writing that was inspired by Mary Oliver. Nameless now. My conversations with those I've lost, I dream about them. I wake with tears in my eyes, wishing the dream never ends. A smell, a season, a song on the radio, and like a lightning bolt, they come alive in my brain. Their influence over me, never fading, nameless now. These conversations with the dead, in mind and heart only, no one knowing, no one seeing, all they mean to me.
My name is Mashaya. I go to Rogers High School. I'm 11th grade. The poem me, everything eventually come to the end and cherish everything while we can. The present energy sends out the most. My favorite word is the film it. I do like to fill my promises and goals in any way possible and purple. Would you use poems to inspire our writing using the vocabulary? So on the poems, the deep dimensions of AR.
My name is Adon Reed. This is my piece inspired by Mary Oliver. Look at this. Years are gone by and some things haven't changed. Now, should we look back at it? Never. Never at all. But the old rooms, we shouldn't look back. and the old telephone. No, we should never look back. We should never look down upon this. Changing could be hard. We will embrace this. Change will always happen.
My name is Joseph Allison, and I'm a sophomore from high school. This is my poem on death. I think it's death anyways. Death is a river that flows along. Death is a song that goes on too long. Death is a knife that cuts through life. But even though that may be true, there isn't much that we can do. But through all of this, we strive and thrive.
My name is Aaliyah. I go to Rogers High School and I'm a sophomore. In the Blackwater Woods. The way this poem makes me feel is that it's like stated when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. Which is very powerful to me because sometimes you just have to let stuff go and just let it happen. Because sometimes you have no control over things that happen. It's life and you gotta get over it someday. Just like it stated, you must be able to do three things. To love is what is mortal. To hold against your bones, knowing your life depends on it.
Alexandria Lynch, 10th grade, Rogers High School. Enamored. Enamored, I remember when I first felt enamored, like real love. Then I can't stop thinking about how much I love him, type love. Infatuation. There's a line between infatuation. This line is blurred for some and straight for others. I remember when I first became infatuated. This I can't stop thinking about him type infatuation. Lines blur or some fade completely, but that doesn't change your feelings. That dopamine can feel like a punch to the chest or the warming of a heart. And when you experience both, you feel which one feels worse. Don't let that line whip around and hit you where it hurts, right in the soul.
Hello, my name is Nita Adams, and I am a sophomore at Rogers High School. Rain, climate change, the earth once so bright and green. Now so dull and gray, sun once so bright and hot, nothing now cold, and trees so lively and fresh, now paper and books, earth the place we know as home gone, why? Trees being burned and destroyed, icebergs melting from climate change, the faster earth is to dying, beautiful oceans and rivers now nothing but sand and dust, animals once so active and beautiful now nowhere to be found, heat waves killing grass and us, yet here we are with new iPhones and tablets, the world is ours to improve.
My name is Skylar. I'm a student of Rogers High School. This is my poem that was inspired by Mary Oliver. As the leaves fall and they begin to change their color, I smell a scent like no other. Pumpkin spice cinnamon, the smell of fresh warm blankets, holidays around the corner, I know the time of these particular fragrance. Fall, what is considered the best season of them all?
Hi, this is Amanda again. This is a poem that I wrote. Loss changes everything. It changes you, your views, hopes, thoughts. It twists your reality. Dark, cold, stillness, feeling like never-ending stillness. Numbness, the voices fade and are lost. Emptiness stands where once was filled. Regret, anger, confusion. It warps what was taken for granted. Lost, gone, but never forgotten.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories.
Thank you to the Monarch Grief Center, Good Grief, Save Our Community, and the School-Based Violence Interrupters, the youth writers of Fearless Writers, and the brave youth willing to remember a loved one, and by using their words to help us better understand a story of trauma that stretches far beyond the victims.
This episode would not be possible without the support of Dr. Heather Clary from the Social Work Program at the University of Toledo.
In episode 3, we will hear from Good Grief about the often used phrase, tough it out. To hear past episodes of No More Silence, go to wgte.org/nomoresilence.
WGTE, Voices Around Us.